Hello and welcome to the Ebony POV, a podcast that talks about everything in the Big Brother universe from an ebony point of view. I'm your host, Michael B., and I'll be here to discuss everything Big Brother, from the fights to the competitions to the house guests and to the strategies, and give a perspective from an African American's point of view. Thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to get started with and talk about everything Big Brother. Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome back to the Ebony POV, where we discuss everything Big Brother, and specifically Big Brother All-Stars 2. It's been a great week so far on the feeds. Again, we're so happy that we were able to get feeds from, well, almost night one, technically, since it started 2 o'clock in the morning, my time. We actually didn't get feeds until Thursday, but still, we've almost had a full week of feeds from the very beginning, and it's been great so far. It's had its ups and downs that we've talked about on the previous podcast episodes, but it is good to see the game from the beginning, and then instead of being quote-unquote tricked that we're seeing it from the beginning, it's actually been a whole week. But again, it's been a great time on the feeds this first week, and we only have a few more nights left before our first live eviction that's happening tomorrow. So let's go ahead and get into what happened yesterday, which was Tuesday, August 11th. All right, so we had a little bit more activity, especially when it comes to people's social games, but we finally got to see a little bit more strategizing, a little bit more solidifying of the so-called, quote, possible alliances that are happening in the house. Granted that probably the least amount of people that were playing yesterday were the two nominees that are in danger on the block, but that's a whole separate subject we'll get into. And actually, that's the number one thing I have on my list, which is little campaigning. They've been campaigning, but they're, again, since everybody else is being cagey and too scared to really make moves and actually start playing the game, the two nominees, Keisha and Kevin, are really kind of at odds with what to do. They have their who are close confidants and kind of, you know, trying to tell them what should they do, how should they approach people, but they're playing very timid. And especially, you know, with only 2 days left before the live eviction, it's no time to play timid. You should start playing from the get-go once you're on the block, but it's okay to kind of not be too pushy, maybe too forward, like right when you're nominated at the beginning of the cycle. But like once you get 2 days before Thursday's eviction, you got to make sure your ducks are in a row. And if you are iffy about things, you at least know where people stand so you can work from there. But both of them are confused. They do have a few people going for them. But if you have reason on the house, it looks like it's still that it's leaning towards Kevin to stay, but through no effort on his own. Again, the thing about it is Keisha and Kevin are seen as numbers, and what the people in the house want to do is kind of use one, evict that one person to help limit the numbers towards the other side, whoever they think the other side is. So for people like Cody and Danny D and Enzo, they believe that Kevin could be a number while Keisha could be a number for Janelle and Kesar. So eliminate Keisha. Like I said, they're both well liked enough that's the real reason that they would be voted for. And it's the same thing for Janelle and Kesar, that they are thinking about eliminating Kevin because they feel like they can use Keisha. Kevin they like, but if Keisha will help them in the game more, fine. So there's no week one obvious boot. And right now, when you think about it, there's no like week two obvious boot or early obvious boot that you didn't get the first week, but will be definitely 100% gone by week two. Like people like, say, since Cody's on the cast, I would say Devin. Devin is definitely like an early boot. Like we can't wait for them to confront him. That's not happening right now. But again, they're not campaigning at all. the way they should be, since they know it's all stars. Keisha and Kevin, whoever stays, will be staying not of their own accord. So I hope they know that, and I hope they try to kind of capitalize on the game going forward. Number two, one of the main things that happened yesterday on feeds was Cody and Tyler really got a chance to really talk. Since the beginning of the game, you know, they trying to make some alliance, you know, once in the first couple of nights of feeds. But if you can think about pairs or groups of people that really haven't talked to each other at all, for the most part, Cody and Tyler are two of those people. Well, they talked last night and talk some things. Tyler kind of made it known of who he, well, at least who he wanted to say to Cody, that who he trusted and didn't trust. And Cody made some things known. I think it's kind of hurt their games a little bit. Cody is definitely 100% wary of Tyler, but Cody, I think, is smart enough to realize that regardless of how you feel about Tyler, Tyler has fans, and that's why he probably went with Keisha and Kevin. If Keisha and Kevin don't have fans in the quote unquote social media space, in his perception, then it'd be easy for him to get rid of, just in case there's some kind of public backbite. But Keisha and Kevin are two fan favorites, even more so than Cody. There's going to be backbite whoever leaves. But I'm glad that Cody and Tyler had a talk. It seems that definitely they're setting, even though they're talking with each other, they're definitely setting up things independent of each other. And I predicted a while that it's going to be a big Cody Tyler show now, because they're occupying the same space. Let's be honest. Again, this is the Ebony POV. So they're two like good looking, super athletic, sociable white guys. They're occupying the same space, and eventually one of them gotta go. So Cody, you know, as HOH, is setting himself up that when it comes, when they have to choose between Cody and Tyler, that they'll choose Cody. Now Tyler's doing a different angle and actually thinking about Cody, still liking Cody as an ally, but not necessarily feeling some of Cody's allies. Which leads me to the next point. Not only did Cody and Tyler touch base, but Tyler and Christmas touch base. Just in case you're keeping track, Tyler and Christmas is one of Tyler's many, many final twos. But he revealed in this conversation with Christmas that he doesn't like that he well Almost he doesn't like, but doesn't trust Danny D. And they talked about, you know, Janella Kesar talked about Cody and talked about Memphis, and it shows that the Big Sis Alliance that we were talking about, there's some cracks there. And when you think about it, the real alliance that's going on, that Cody is setting up, is between Cody and Enzo. And the two alliances that they're trying to form, like there's one they have one on one side with Cody and Enzo and Bay and Davon, then another side, which you originally saw on night one of feeds, which was Cody and Enzo and excuse me, and Danny D and Nicole Franzel. And Cody revealed to Tyler that, you know, at least Tyler, or was it Tyler that revealed to Cody that, you know, they're wary of Nicole Franzel, and rightfully so. And then it's interesting that Danny Donato was a subject of conversation between Tyler and Christmas. So, like I said, there's cracks in this, the original alliance, six alliance that we talked about earlier. They talked about how they're a little bit wary of Memphis, and I think that's good. I think it's going to set up something. I don't think it's going to really boil over till like week three. So I think this next coming week, which will start tomorrow when once the eviction happens, those seeds will still be planted. But I think we'll see kind of a blow up of all these smaller conversations. They'll definitely happen within week three. So pay attention to that. Number four, that happened. Janelle, if you're looking at the feeds, you know that Janelle is wearing her suit more, you know. Suppose there's a possibility that someone complained, not naming any names, but on a related note, Nicole Francella is in the house. But besides that somebody complained to production about her not wearing the star more, so now she's wearing it more all the time. Of course, I believe that I have to double check, but I believe that since Have Nots ended ended at midnight this morning, it's a possibility that her costume, Janelle's costume punishment, will either end tonight or end tomorrow. I mean, since she's not up for eviction, there's really no reason to for her to keep the costume on during the live episode. I mean, they may still do that, but she probably might have some ways like, well, if I was up for eviction, it would make sense to be, the TV moment of being evicted with wearing a bright yellow star with lights. But since she's literally safe and people have already seen it, and they've already seen and they'll see it not only on Tuesday, on Sunday's episode, they'll see her more in the Star episode tonight. You might as well go ahead and get her out of it. Also, I just remember the fact that whatever the competition is happening next, they may have to dress for it. If that's the case, yeah, she probably won't be wearing the costume come Thursday night. But we'll see. That's basically a lot of the things that happened, the main highlights that happened yesterday on the feeds on Tuesday, August 11th. Like I said, people are still being sociable. Like I said, Tyler's still talking with everybody, setting up his final twos. Bailey and Devon are still in a good spot. Oh, I forgot the last thing. The makeover. Nicole A got a makeover from Janelle. And it's kind of different from the makeover that she got from, I believe, Christy in last season. But that was a TV moment that's definitely probably going to make, if it doesn't make the show tonight, it's definitely going to make the show tomorrow, probably as a filler before the actual live eviction. But yes, she got glammed, Nicole Anthony got glammed up by Janelle and then, paraded around the house. Even though she wore glasses more than she did the last time. But again, that was a cute little moment. Like I said, that's a great moment. That's a great moment for TV, though. It's not so much, strategy-wise, because Nicole Anthony, both before and after this moment, was talking bad about Janelle and probably trying to kind of sow seeds of doubt about Janelle, mainly because she believes that Janelle wants to keep Keisha, and therefore, and since Nicole Anthony wants to keep Kevin. She's parading that story around. But that was the other thing. But that's all. That's the main things that happened on the live feeds yesterday. All right, so let's get into these rankings. So again, just a quick recap. Just as premiere happened, we saw the house guests come into the house in groups of four. So we're going to be using the rankings to rank them in groups of four. So the bottom four, 16 through 13 will be exactly that. The bottom four, who I believe are playing the worst from the feeds up to yesterday. And then the next set of four would be the struggle four, which would be 12 through 9. Then the next set after that would be the underdog four, which I believe would be the ones that are gaining traction in the game, but not quite at the top of the heap, at least for this point at the this point in the game. And then of course we have the Fantastic Four, who I believe are the head of the class, the top of the class. And if we were to vote right now, or if the house guests themselves were to vote right now, these would be the four people that were actually would be in contention to the game if the game had to stop at this point for whatever reason. So let's go ahead and get started with the bottom four. We'll kind of discuss them a little bit quick today because we do have an episode recap coming. At number 16, I have to give it to Keisha. I've been holding on to not putting her last this whole week, but she is playing scared when she 100% should not play scared. Socially, her social game is still fine. She's actually starting to build bridges with other people, even those that were initially when she was nominated, like, she gotta go. Socially, that's not the issue. The issue is she's not garnering votes the way she should be garnering, and the ones that she thinks she has, she's taking for granted. Of course, like, the big spotlight is the fact that she thinks Memphis will vote for her to stay and he will not, even though Memphis is, I think if Memphis either has a perception that the tide has turned, or if the tide does actually turn, he'll vote for her to stay and then claim that he was on the side the whole time. So that's not the main issue, is just the fact that she needs to talk to Memphis and knows that Memphis thinks of her kind of as a sort of enemy because of how things happened in their original season. But she needs to get out more and play. If she doesn't do that, well, let's put it this way. She's going to be evicted come Thursday, in my opinion, even though I, like I said, I 100% believe that there's a buyback. So we haven't seen the last of Keisha on the episodes or possibly on the season if indeed she is evicted come Thursday. Even though there's no buyback confirmed, we'll see. We should probably find out either tonight when they talk about Thursday's episode, or actually Thursday night when the first live eviction. But going on to number 15, leaving from Keisha, is the woman that wants her most to go, which is Nicole Anthony. Now, again, she has, talked about people. She has let it be known that she has enemies that shouldn't be her enemies now, and that's why I feel like she's right there with Keisha. Again, she won't be leaving Thursday, but she is one of the choices to be on the block, regardless of who the HOH is. I mean, if the only person that can guarantee 100% that Nicole will not be on the block Thursday is Kevin. I think even Bay and Day might consider it, considering the kind of the social, some of the alliances structure that they have, but she is kind of in danger right now. And she's playing too scared because, again, because of what happened to her last scene, she's so scared of a big, strong alliance of quote unquote. Yeah, let's clarify that. She's not just scared of a big of alliance. She's scared of a big alliance of cool people, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, even though you can't see it. That's what she's so scared of the most. So she sees all these cool people, like even older cool people like Janelle and Kesar, as well as the younger cool people that are closer to her age, like Cody, like Danny DeLato and Nicole, because they're closer to her age. Like she sees this a group of cool people, and people like Tyler. She's playing so scared, and it's kind of putting people off the wrong way. But I also believe the other theory that I have is that people remember who she was from last year. Not only was she a fighter, she was America's favorite. And besides winners, the one thing that you probably don't want to have in the house, if you're really going to play for real to win, is America's favorite. Because just in case there's a fan vote, you don't want last year's America's favorite in contention for that fan vote, because they should get it. Now, in reality, if they ever have a fan vote and Janelle doesn't win, even if she does not in the house, I would be surprised. But barring from that, like if you have to think like really strategically, really cutthroat, you would target the winners and then you would target the fan favorites. Fortunately for her, there's a lot of fan favorites in this official fan favorites in the house this year, but she won it last year. I would definitely want to consider getting her out. Like I can't be in trouble in the game because people don't like me. And that's just the way it is. And even though I'm talking about people, and there's people I do not like in this cast, or at least don't like the way they're playing. If it was me in the house, like I know I'm not gonna be liked by everybody. So the people that I know going to be liked by everybody outside the house got to go. Simple as that. But yes, she definitely needs to. She has a social game, but she definitely needs to turn that up and actually turn that social capital into strategic connections for her. Besides Kevin, besides David, and besides Bay and Day, which I mean they like her, and so they kind of have her back to an extent, but not really, at least not yet. And if anything, if they do, that she had that has it through Kevin, which brings me to number 14, Kevin. So Kevin right now, at least as of this morning, was still likely to stay, even though I think the consensus is close. They may still do a house vote and it may be almost a clean sweep, even though the consensus is close whether they want to keep Keisha or Kevin. Again, it doesn't matter, I guess, because what if they still vote unanimously, regardless of what the consensus is, it's still everybody decided for Kevin to stay, regardless of the reason. But he still is kind of playing a scared game and not making the connection. It's more, and his reads are off. He's trying to connect with the cool people, which he shouldn't. He's an outsider. He played the outsider game on his original season, BB11, and that's the way he should be. He should realize the fact that Janelle and Kesar are on the outs and actually try to do something with them, considering regardless of whether they're voting for Keisha or not. Like, everybody that's on the outside, he needs to rally behind and then push them all in front of him. So that way, the other side will go for them before they go for Kevin. And he said, well, I've already been on the block. You should go for the stronger players on this side before me. But we'll see what happens. But like I said, Kevin is a 14. He's there because he hasn't been playing the best game, but he is the more likely person to stay. Again, as of Wednesday morning, there's still people are still talking the fees, but we'll talk about that before the live eviction episode tomorrow. But I have to have given Kevin a number 14 and a number 13, Nicole Frenzel. Now she's dropped down a lot from yesterday because people are mentioning her name more in a negative light. Most of the time, people were mentioning her name when they talked about her in a bad way, like, oh my gosh, Nicole. But then they were like, well, that's Nicole. Like, we're not going to deal with her right now because she's too emotional. Now it's already starting to grate them. They feel like the way that she's using her emotions is hindering their game. So more people that are mentioning Nicole as a negative, specifically people like Cody, specifically people like Tyler and Christmas, and specifically people like Memphis of all people. And that means, I mean, once she gets packed more, those more negative connotations with her, and the fact that she's a winner, that puts her game in danger. Now, Nicole can win competitions, but she all usually when she wins competitions, either her side or herself has to be in danger to drive her, because she has no problem throwing competitions if she thinks she's not in danger. So she right now is not seeing. Because people are playing so nicey nice, you know, she can't see the perception of people around her, and that's going to catch up once really things start going. Because they're not going to want a winner at for Big Brother All Stars 2. So that's who I have at the bottom four. All right, so let's talk about my next favorite group outside of the top four, the Struggle Four. And at number 12, we have Christmas. So that little talk with the Christmas had with Tyler, I think helped a little bit because Tyler, because of the connection with Josh and Casey, will probably protect Christmas to a point. So showing that they were on the same page about people that in public they may think they like and get along, but you know, in when it comes right down to it, you know, they're considering targets, I think helps her. That being said, she's still one of the people that are is most disrespect, well, I won't say most disrespected, but not as respected as a player. And that the fact that her social capital that she started very well at the beginning of the week now is kind of waned a little bit because she's kind of telling the same stories. She talks, you know, mostly about her son, which, you know, as a fairly new parent, I mean, we would expect for her to do. But now it's like now they're thinking about how can we set the structure of the game for us to win. Christmas is kind of on the outside of that. Like I said, I won't say that she's in immediate danger right now, but she's definitely going to be considered probably like a pawn or a possible target if targets run out. So she definitely needs to actually do more than just really solidify stuff with Christmas. I mean, excuse me, solidify stuff with Tyler. She definitely needs to set up more stuff with people. Cody Enzo would be a good pair, but like even though she's kind of included in some of those alliances, she's still not getting a lot of information. That's pretty much what Tyler and Christmas are talking about. They're included in multiple alliances, but the information doesn't only flows one ways, doesn't flow both ways. They give information, they don't receive it, which means they're considered expendable. So Christmas is good on Christmas to realize that, but at the same time, she should have, you know, been more strategic with the social or her social game instead of just trying to touch base with everybody, which is good, especially in the first week, but she needs to be a little bit more strategic now that we're this close to the first eviction. So now it has to be your social game has to be a little bit more strategic. She hasn't been doing that. And that's why I have her at number 12. And number 11 is Ian. Now, he was a hire yesterday. I'm dropping him back down because he's still rubbing people the wrong way, whether it's right or not. Add the fact that he's a winner, people are going to target him. They won't target him directly. They'll try and backdoor him. I 100% agree that they will do that. I think they will. What may happen is they'll try to backdoor him. Backdoor him. He will get picked for the power veto, and the power veto will be some kind of intellectual competition that only he can win, and then he's even more in trouble. But like I said, the target on his back has not gotten smaller. He's done good. He's done so much better socially. What he did in BB14, now he needs to accelerate. He needs to hit the fast forward button and get to the midweek now instead of waiting, trying to match week by week, which I think methodically he is trying to do because he's that type of methodical person, but he needs to fast forward it. He needs to be more strategic and be more aggressive in his gameplay now instead of being having the appearance of being scared and timid because people are starting to talk about that. At number 10, I have Danny Donato, who has been talking about Ian's game a lot, almost more than anybody else in the house. Cody at a close second. Now, the thing with Danny Donato is that her rat-like gameplay, her kind of rat floater gameplay, again, it's good. It's keeping her safe, but I feel like eventually she's gonna run out of steam. I think the thing about Danny Donato is she's gonna run out of steam at a game point where she's just gonna be bored. And when she gets bored, she's just gonna like, you know what? I'm targeting you. I'm targeting you. I'm tired of you. Like right now, she is playing a social game where she's getting good with everybody, but I think at a point she's gonna get bored. And just, let the blinds fall down and let her cards really be displayed. And right now, considering she has distrust now with Tyler and Christmas, who is in kind of a good standing, and Tyler, who is in a great standing right now, they might sneak around and try to get her. And what's really important that she's been talking with people about Nicole Frenzel. And God knows what's gonna happen when that gets back to Nicole Frenzel. And like I said, the cracks that are already there with some of the quote unquote, established groups and alliances that happened at the beginning of the season, the cracks that are already there are going to be very interesting, like after during this week and then in week three when I feel like they'll finally be exposed. At number 9 we have Kesar. Kesar is doing great socially. He's not talking with everybody, but he's definitely, choosing who to talk to, and you can see that he's trying to make sure that he talks with enough people that would be a majority for him just in case he gets on the block. So he's trying to, instead of doing like Christmas and spread social game to everybody, he's doing it methodically and carefully. The problem is because of his winning safety sweep and the whole danger of Kesar and Janelle being in the house together, he is still in danger of being in the block next week. He needs to win HOH or Janelle, but 100% he needs to win HOH. That's why I have him so low. Now, just because he gets nominated doesn't mean he goes home. I will say though that if Janelle and Kesar are on the block after the veto ceremony, Kesar will probably be go will go first. But if Janelle wins. If he wins HOH or they're on the block and one of them gets off veto, specifically Janelle, and he could get the votes to stay if they try to put a soft pawn like David or Nicole Anthony and to try and use sympathy to keep the votes on Kesar, I think 100% he could still stay in the house. So I think it's almost guaranteed that he'll be on the block. I won't say that he'll be going home yet, but that's why I have him at number 9 of the Struggle 4. Okay, so let's talk about the Undercover Four, and we'll get right into it with number 8 at David. So again, David is one of those people that is in danger of being a pawn next week, or being or actually being a soft target next week. However, I do have him up here at number 8 of the Undercover Four because he's still playing an okay social game. It's not really the most dazzling game. And you can see that he's getting more and more knowledge from people, and he's probably starting to figure out who he really needs to align with. Is really a danger to him, like he was doing in BB21 when he was in Camp Comeback. But he still needs to get the perception off of people that he is expendable. Playing stupid has been good for him. Like I said, he needs to go ahead and finish that out until the live eviction. But in week two, he doesn't need to do that anymore. He needs to taper off of that, in my opinion. He's already started. He might as well finish the week up with it. But once the week is done, he definitely needs to turn into eye gear instead of playing a stupid person, playing a gung-ho but naive person, because he's very even keel, and you need aggressive, enthusiastic people. So he's not in immediate danger, but he's still in a point where, like, people wanted to make sure that he didn't get knocked out first. So whoever gets eliminated on Thursday, great. But there's nothing saying that he'll be the target second, because there will still be no blood on people's hands if David goes. But he's still a threat, and he's still a number for other people's agendas when they need votes, and that's why he's a threat. If they keep him long enough, he's going to be a sleeper, because he's not stupid. He just needs to get more right reads, but he's been hanging with the right people to do that. He just needs to capitalize on that. And at number seven, we have Enzo. So again, I will keep saying this: Enzo made a grave mistake in winning the power of veto after being house guest choice for Kevin. If Kevin stays, maybe all is forgiven, because he's still the goofy guy that everybody likes, and he's still a little soldier to Cody. But people are going to want to separate what they perceive to be the power alliances, and a lot of those alliances that people that perceive are happening have Enzo. And most people will start thinking that if I can't get of the main person, I'll just get rid of Enzo, or Enzo will be the pawn. So I expect Enzo to possibly be the pawn star on this season, especially if he, unless he wins another competition. But again, I expect Enzo to be the pawn of this season, which will kind of degrade his value, despite the fact that he did win one of the first comps of the season. But beyond that, socially, he's doing great. So I'm not downing Enzo's game so much, because he's still playing well. He's still not in the limelight, still getting involved in some of the conversations. But now there are partnerships and alliances that are forming around him, and there are talks going around him. So outside of Cody, he's not really getting a lot of information from other people. But he's still there. But like I said, the one thing I feel like is, one, that his ego about, forming the alliance. And of course, I do believe that regardless of what happens tomorrow, him snaking Kevin like that, keeping on the block after he's house guest choice, making him look like he does whatever Cody does, will hurt him. But we'll see. Number six, I have Memphis. What can I say about Memphis? He's in a good spot, but he's still showing why he lost unanimously in Big Brother 10. He's trying to act as if he's new school, one of the cool guys. But his arrogance and his ego is starting to go against people that for one first place, he doesn't have no business going against. That's only going to hurt his game, and may even hurt his reputation outside the house, like Bailey. Going against Tyler and Enzo, but not really. But he definitely sees himself as either the number one or number two with Cody in the game, and that's not even the case. And more people are catching on to the Memphis that Jerry yelled at, the Memphis that Keisha yelled at. And eventually they're going to realize that he voted against Keisha to go. I mean, excuse me, against Keisha to stay, and that's going to be a stigma his entire game. And God forbid what happens if Keisha's able to figure that out, and there is a buyback like I expect, and she gets put into the house, and then she confronts him again. It's not a good look. He needs to figure out a way to let Keisha go, but give her a sympathy vote. If he's not willing to do that, I see he says there's some things, but like with the people that are having conversations around him now, Again, he's on that cover four because I think he can go up from here, but there's still some issues with his game. But I have him at number six because he is insulated right now. He's nowhere, nobody's immediate pick to go for eviction. And if you're not the, if you know you can survive another week, there you can always build your game up from there. So at number five at the undercover four, I have Cody. Cody has one of the best social games in the house. He's not, he has people that are even on the other side trying to work with him. But they also know that Cody, as the first HOH, has a lot of information that other people are not privy to. And if you realize that, then it's better to try to get that information from him, especially before he leaves the HOH house. It's definitely going to be interesting with Cody once he leaves the HOH and then just a regular house guest in the game, at least for 1 week. Like I said, the only problem is I think he's doing well. I do think he has an ego that may stop him. That's why I still have him in the undercover four. He's nowhere near a sleeper threat. Outside of Janelle and Kesar, I think he has, and maybe Tyler, he has the biggest target on his back. And he has a social game to kind of, you know, dodge that target for a while. But eventually, especially with what I feel like the upcoming civil war between Cody and Tyler, it's eventually going to get to a point to where he's going to have to win his way out. And we have a lot of comp beasts. He's not the comp beast, only comp beast on this season. There's a lot of them there. So being the first HOH, being the first person to get blood on their hands, he has a bit of a target. But like he, for HOH, going first round, I would say he's probably one of the best positions that there's ever been. Okay, so now at the beginning of the top four, or the Fantastic Four for yesterday, I have to put number four with Tyler. Tyler, you know, it's playing a great game. You know, I'm a reluctant Tyler fan, but I have to give it to him. I don't like the fact that he has more final twos than there are people in the house, but beyond that, his social connections are great. And I do love the two conversations that he had yesterday with Cody and with Christmas. It definitely shows that he is using his strategic mind, at least to a point, just as much as his social ability. So I do like that from him. And he's not any immediate danger. I think it shows right now with a lot of things he's doing why he was so close to winning in BB20 and why he was the dominant player that season. You got to love that. And again, like I said, I'm a reluctant Tyler fan, but I have to give it to him. So I have him at number four. I don't have him at number one because, like I said, if the season were to end today and they just had to do a rapid elimination, they wouldn't want, nobody's going to really, really, really want to take Tyler to the final two except Christmas. And the people that are giving him a lot of promises, like Cody in Memphis and Enzo, they're not giving a lot of info because I know that he's wary of them, and he should be. They are all thinking at the back of their mind, like, this either week five or week six, we got to go ahead and deal with Tyler. So he's building the connections to combat that, which is good, but he's not at a point that he could completely supersede that yet. But he's in one of the safest spots, so we have to give it to him. And number three, I have Devon. Again, considering how she was in season 18, especially season 17, she's in one of the best positions in the house. She was kind of gone from the feeds on Kesar's birthday on Monday because she was sick. But today she definitely put in more work, talking with a lot more people, you know, having a lot of discussions. Again, the thing about her is, even though I think she's completely safe and she will outlast the safety suite, in my opinion, the problem is she's definitely having bad reads in the house. She's really not seeing where all the lines are drawn. Now, considering what she's known for, knowing exactly where the lines are drawn before almost anybody else does, this may actually be working in her favor. You know, there's the whole saying, ignorance is bliss. So for Devon, ignorance may be bliss because they know she's smart. They say she's smart in the house, but they have no reason to be threatened by her intelligence yet. And especially she's actually giving out wrong reads, and instead of playing up her social game, instead of her strategic game, she's actually inadvertently making her more safer in the house, even though she doesn't have as much agency and as much control. Again, she could turn on at any time. And right now, especially these couple of weeks, the goal is to be safe. The goal is not to control the house. The goal is to stay safe. I don't care if you're at the number bottom of the 16. If you're still in the house after the eviction vote, even if you're on the block, that's a win. So right now, you need to be safe. But I have her at number three. Like I said, I still need her to improve. But like I said, even though I wouldn't say she's playing the most spectacular game, but of these 16 house guests up to the time yesterday at 11:59, I would give her the number three spot. Number two spot is Janelle. Now, Janelle, like I said, Janelle is a target. She always will be a target. So it's hard to really, base her game on that, because there's no way to make her target smaller. I will say that she's continuing to work with people socially, which is great. Even people that she may consider enemies, she's considering about building bridges a lot more than Kesar is, which is awesome. I think it's one of the best things about our game right now. I do think, just as she is a big target, she's not will. And what I mean by that is, you don't come into the game and think, I'm going to have the biggest resume ever by taking out Janelle. That will piss fans off. That will hurt you in the Big Brother community, especially if you take her out early. And I think a lot of these, at least the newer season players, are more savvy enough to know that. Like, we can't take Janelle out at first. We need to split them up. If we have to split them up, take Janelle. But otherwise, take Kesar first and let her ride, because we need to take her out mid-season, because we will get punished for that. The public, if they have a public vote, and they'll remember who got Janelle out, and they will punish us. And I mean, if I was playing, I would think that. I mean, it's like, you can't keep Kesar and Janelle in the house together, but you can't ignore the fact that the public could screw your entire game up if you get Janelle out too early. It doesn't matter what perception the episode is. If they don't defeat that you're the reason why, they'll punish you for it. But because she's being so personable and having those social bonds, and even talking game with certain people, even person that she shouldn't be talking game with, like Danny Donato, I have to give her the number two spot. Like I said, it's not about who's playing the best game at this point. It's just that who is performing the best up to this point. And she's not in danger. She showed her social influence because she got Kazar, who supposedly she hadn't talked to in 14 years, to make her safe. And I think people want to keep Janelle in the house just because it's Janelle. Because I guess, unfortunately, the other thing about her reputation is that she's played three times. This is her fourth time, but she hasn't won. She always gets taken out right before the big dance, the final two. And if they take that into consideration, they know that we don't, in order to keep her from winning the game, we don't have to take her out immediately. We just need to take her out when it's absolutely needed, which that happened to her twice, unfortunately. But I put Janelle number two, and of course at number one right now I have Bailey. Like I said in the previous podcast, Bailey is probably number one, who is playing the best game. She's not playing a lot strategically. She doesn't need to be. She's definitely being brought into conversations. She has this one new alliance with Cody and Enzo and Davon. She has a final two with Davon. She has this sort of fake final two, but still a close partnership with Tyler. Janelle loves her. Kesar loves her too. David loves her. Like I said, she's loved by everybody. She is, like I said, I feel like, in my opinion, she is the most situated, the most insulated right now. Nope. She, like Davon and like Tyler, will outlast the safety suite. I really can't say anything about anybody else. Not only those three will last the safety suite, they won't need it. They can play if they want to. I promise they won't need it. So anybody else on that list, even Janelle, will need a safe suite, even though she's already used her pass. But I have to keep Bailey at number one, and I don't see that changing until after whoever wins HOH. But even then, I think regardless of who wins HOH, she's not anybody's first, second, third, or fourth choice. She's good. She's good for these next couple of weeks, unless something really drastically happens. But I have to go ahead and put the stamp on Bailey as number one of the Fantastic Four. And there you have our rankings for the 16 house guests of Big Brother All-Stars 2 for the live feeds up to August 11th, 2020. So thank you again for joining us for this latest episode of the Ebony POV. We will be live tweeting the episode that's coming on tonight, our first veto competition and ceremony episode of the season. I can't wait to see it. Like I said, we already know that Enzo did not use the power of veto, but we definitely want to see how Enzo actually pulled away that victory. If the comp if the if the actual if they actually show it in the episode, if the controversial knocking down of Keisha's blocks actually happened and actually did hinder her from winning it. Just to see Enzo's diary room session when he shows him with the veto around his neck. I'm actually looking forward to that. And of course, hopefully there's no reason why they shouldn't show Kesar's birthday on this episode as well. So it's going to be a great episode. We'll be live tweeting it, and we'll actually do an episode recap later tonight, not long after. And of course, be able to watch where we do our episode recap of the first live eviction episode that's happening on Thursday. We'll definitely try to have that episode recap out after that episode happens tomorrow. But of course, we'll also update have a live feed update episode tomorrow morning. So please watch out for that. So thank you again for joining us for the Ebony POV. If you haven't subscribed, you know we're on Apple, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Spotify and all the major podcast networks. Please subscribe to us at Ebony POV. Also, again, we are a part of sarongforthat.com. So if you haven't seen our website or follow us on social media, please go do so. Again, we're at sorongforthat.com, and it's sorongforthat on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So please follow us, where we have content not just about Big Brother, but all other things as well. So thank you so much again for joining us for the Ebony POV. We will talk to you later tonight for the episode recap.